Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast, Hot Takes Edition.
Blame no one. Make no excuses. Do something.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Unconquered Podcast. This is, as always, your host, Jason Staples, here for a Hot Takes episode immediately following. Well, I gave this one a couple hours. Had a couple other things to do, but pretty close to immediately following the Wake Forest game. Good win for Florida State, a win that they, you know, comfortably got. Didn't have a good start, down 10 to nothing early on, and then all of a sudden hit the accelerator. Brian Burns got a key sack there to end a Wake Forest drive. They got good field position and then reeled off 38 consecutive points. Really should have been more points than that, given 70 plays for 6.9 yards per play. That's pretty good. But, you know, what's better is Wake Forest. So first of all, that's pretty good, but Wake Forest defense is not very good. We talked about that in the preview episode. Wake Forest defense was going to give up some yards. And, you know, quite honestly, 6.9 yards per play, that's kind of in keeping with what you would have expected against this Wake Forest defense. I mean, they gave up 7.59 yards per play to Boston College, 7.45 yards per play to Notre Dame, and just a hair under 10 yards per play to Clemson. So 6.9 is good, but not anywhere near as much as they've given up to the other decent offenses they've played this year. I mean, the only other teams that they played, Tulane, Towson, and Rice, you know, the Power Five teams that they've played, they've all given up. The lowest figure was 7.45. So Florida State actually still gained at 6.9 yards per play, less than what Wake Forest has been giving up against Power Five competition. So that's not saying a whole lot. Now, offensively, they'd been averaging, let's see, against the Power Five competition, they'd been averaging 4.16 yards per play. And Florida State only gave up 3.5 yards per play, which is a good bit better. You know, it's almost a full yard better than what they had given up against Boston College, where they gave up 4.88. Notre Dame gave up 4.33, and Clemson gave up 3.19. So, I mean, overall, that 3.5 basically was, you know, it's a little shy of Clemson's performance, but better than Notre Dame and Boston College did against Wake Forest. So really a more impressive defensive performance than offensive performance for Florida State. I mean, you give up 10 points on 104 offensive plays. That's playing defense now. That's a pretty good. I mean, that's the main takeaway from this, aside from, you know, it's going to suck for the offense or for the Florida State defense not to have Josh Kando out there for the first half against Clemson. That's definitely a negative that came out of this game, and that was a stupid targeting on his part. That was absolutely the right call. But yeah, I mean, this was a good performance defensively. Now, Wake Forest offense is not all that good. I mean, again, just barely over 4 yards per play against FBS Power 5 competition, 4.1, again, 4.16 on average, but still doing a good bit better than that. That's solid play. I thought they did a great job getting after the quarterback, and that's hard to do against a team that RPOs as much as what Wake Forest does, because they're constantly putting you in a position where you're having to play run and you're having to cover in that second level right behind the, you know, right in front of or right behind the linebackers. So a lot of times that's a way to try to sap a defense's aggressiveness. And Florida State did not get less aggressive. If anything, they got more aggressive on that. And really, that, you know, Wake Forest quarterback, Sam Hartman, took a whooping in this game. He's definitely going to be sore after this one. You know, gave up, 154 yards rushing on 50 carries. You know, that's 1.9 yards per carry. Only 3.4 yards per carry to Wake Forest's main running back, which is, again, that's solid. And really, the game was dominated inside by, and we talked about this in the pregame podcast, in the preview, that basically if Florida State's defensive tackles and Mike linebacker Dontavius Jackson, if they could control the running game on the interior, then that would allow Florida State to come downhill a little bit more and play the pass elsewhere, and they were able to do that, which meant getting fewer bad matchups in the secondary and by the linebackers, and that made things a whole lot easier, just basically being able to dominate on the interior like that. Now, it also helped that Wake Forest's best offensive player, Greg Dortch, was clearly not himself, not as explosive as he normally is. I mean, he is their DJ Matthews, and considering they don't have other guys like that, I mean, that's a lot, and he was nowhere near that explosive. So, you know, they were able to put the clamps on him for four catches for 24 yards. Nothing threatening from him. So, you know, that what if Dortch isn't going to beat you for Wake Forest, then they're probably not going to beat you defensively. And Florida State was able to take him away and make Wake Forest try to beat them left-handed, and they really only have, you know, they don't even have a full hand. They've just got a couple fingers on offense, and Florida State was able to shut that down. So that's a good sign. I mean, I really think that the last couple games, Florida State's defense has sort of found itself, has hit its stride a little bit. You look at how they played against Miami. You look at how they played the week before that against Louisville. Particularly in that second half against Louisville. I mean, they've actually played reasonably well, but you know, it's particularly against Miami and in this game, you could see that they weren't going quite as complex as the stuff that they ran out there against Louisville. Although they brought some exotic looks and so on third down at times out of that Delta package, but you know, they've really focused in, and in this game against an up-tempo team, you really have to be vanilla, but they focused in on doing what they do well and did a good job of it, and basically physically dominated a team that's what you have to do to them. So first and foremost, the Florida State defense deserves credit for basically doing what they should have done in this game, in terms of the talent differential, in terms of what they're able to do, and you know, that's progress for this unit. That is real progress for this unit. Now, that said, you know, if you look at this compared to last year, I mean, they played the same Wake Forest team last year. They gave up, 5.32 yards per play against them last year. So, I mean, again, and now last year's group had a better quarterback, a more experienced quarterback, but that's, you know, they were almost 2 yards per play better against Wake Forest this year than they were last year, which is serious progress. So wanted to give that comparison before going off to the next topic. And before I do that, I want to once again thank the sponsors of this show, Luis Marquez of Keller Williams Realty in Jacksonville. If you have any need of any real estate transactions in the state of Florida, give Lewis a call. He'll make sure if you are in the greater Jacksonville area, he'll work with you and do the best job of anyone in that region. Let him know you heard about him from the podcast. If you're not looking in that area, give him a holler. He'll make sure you're hooked up with the right realtor in the right area out of his network. And again, let him know you heard about him through the podcast. Definitely help out a lot. Then also the second sponsor, Garage Makeovers from Broward and Palm Beach counties. If you're down in that area and you have any needs for garage remodeling or any sort of repairs or any sort of thing to do with your garage, they'll do it better and cheaper than anybody else. Let them know again you heard about them from the Unconquered podcast, and they'll give you a little extra deal there as a fellow Seminole. Let the biscuit know I sent you. All right, now to the offensive side. You know, it is what it is at this point. Francois had a good game statistically, threw some really nice balls. No ball better than the one that was called back, actually, to Morian Terry. Terry wound up with one catch for 23 yards, and that, you know, overturned the 50-plus yarder that was called back. That was a great catch. by him in the end zone, and even better throw under pressure from Francois. And, you know, he flashed that unusual arm strength, but still, you're looking at a guy that on a number of occasions didn't make the right read in terms of the RPO, and when he should have pulled it and tossed it out to the screen, he handed it to the back at different points. If you look at Cam Akers' first touchdown, Akers shouldn't have had the ball on that. Now, Akers ultimately, you know, made it look easy, and you know, the defender was a little bit no man's land, but still probably not the right read there. And you know, that's just one example among many where, you know, he's just not necessarily getting everything. He's not running the offense smoothly still. Now, still looking better than it has been. And he is making it, contrary to what some might say, he is making a little progress there. He is getting better at it. Now, you know, they're not asking him to do a whole lot of running. You know, that's a different thing. It's not a matter of running the quarterback that's the issue here. It's a matter of when to pull it and to throw it, which, again, that's what Wake Forest does a bunch of. But, you know, there were those opportunities. And you can see when they actually do it that there's some good things that tend to result from that. You get those playmakers, the ball on the outside. Now, there was one of those where Treshawn Harrison showed why true freshmen often don't play as early. You know, running, basically he was blocking when he should have been looking for the football. And you know, Francois actually made the right read on the RPO, and you have to be able to trust your receivers there. So, but that'll get cleaned up. And Harrison actually had one of the most impressive plays of the game later on, catching a little out route, nice throw by Francois, and then doing something you just don't see 6'2", 195 pound guys doing. I mean, that kid is smooth, and he is quick, and he is fast. You can see the burst, and he is a rare talent. Looking forward to seeing more from him in the very near future. They got a lot of youngsters playing in this game. You know, you had, in addition to Nasir Upshur getting his first two catches as a Seminole, Keyshawn Helton got some playing time in the second half. They got some carries for Amir Rasul in there at the end of the game. Helton actually had a rushing carry lined up in the backfield as well. A lot of different guys played, and defensively they got some guys out there who hadn't played as much to this point. And the thing is, these guys are still eligible for this. This is a difference from prior years. A guy like Xavier Peters, he played in the second half in the fourth quarter. You know, Xavier Peters played. But he's still eligible for a red shirt if he doesn't play in four games. So, and I haven't seen the participation numbers, the participation chart. I'll take a look at it later in the week to see who's still eligible for those. But a lot of these guys still are going to be. And this is the one opportunity when you look at the rest of the schedule where you're going to be up a bunch and have a chance to play on the youngsters. Might get a chance to play the youngsters next week, but not because you're up a bunch. Now, that said, I did watch the Clemson NC State game simultaneously with the Florida State Wake Forest game. Clemson is better than they were last year. They are going to be no picnic. The real question is, will Florida State be able to score against Clemson? I'm not talking about will they be able to beat Clemson. The question is, can Florida State score against Clemson? That's going to be the real question coming into this week. They're going to have to scheme it up every bit as well as they did against Miami and then some to be able to score on that Clemson defense. I do think that they can stop the Clemson running game to a reasonable extent, but they're going to give up a couple plays in the passing game because Lawrence is a different cat at quarterback, and that receiver crew is going to get their wins periodically. So, you know, looking forward to that one. That one doesn't look real good, but North Carolina State has been kind of a mystery. They're undefeated, right? They were undefeated coming into the game against Clemson. I kind of suspected that Clemson would expose him a little bit. And I think that's a chance that there's a real chance that Florida State could go into Raleigh and win that game. And then, you know, at that point, it's win one more game the rest of the year and you make a bowl. So that was the one positive that came out of that is that I thought Clemson exposed some things on that North Carolina State team. I think Florida State can win up front against that NC State offensive line, which is a good offensive line, but they don't have the backs that they've had in the past. actually my high school, we played against Ricky Person, their freshman running back who's been playing a lot for them, and we didn't think a whole lot of him as a staff. I mean, he put up some yards against us, but we actually didn't feel like he performed or looked, you know, in person as good as his national rating, and I think that's kind of being confirmed so far. So anyway, I think, you know, that's one other takeaway in terms of hot takes coming in. I still don't think Florida State's gonna have a whole lot of chances to beat Clemson in this next matchup, but if they can come through that reasonably healthy and not too banged up, I think they've got a real good shot at beating NC State in Raleigh. You know, certainly a game that they can win at that point. So yeah, I'm gonna be interested in seeing how that all plays out. We'll do a film session via Patreon. I'll put out a notification on when that'll be, but it'll be about midweek, maybe Tuesday this week. But one of these evenings this week, I'll do one of those film sessions again, look at some of the key plays from this Wake Forest game. Again, if you are a Patreon subscriber or supporter, I should say, you have full access to those. And if you are above the do something level, that is the $5 per month level, if you're above that level, then you can participate in these film sessions live and ask all sorts of questions. If you do more than that, you can also ask for specific plays or specific things to be broken down. And later on, I'll do some specific, some special stuff for that group as well. But I'm gonna go ahead and wrap the show now. Want to thank actually those subscribers who are above the Tomahawk level, those of you who've done who've gone above and beyond there, very grateful for Todd Howell, Hector Cartagena, Dan Alvarez, Keith Cheney, Neil Cook, and Bert Bertoldi. Those are all the the various patrons who are at the Tomahawk level or the Secure the Bag level. Very grateful for the support, and hopefully this week's film session is a good bit more pleasant than the last one was, with the ability to break down a win. Until then, this has been the Unconquered Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Staples. Thanks for listening.
Thank you all very much and have a great day if you want to.
I made this.